Once again, Cinema St. Louis is gearing up for the annual Whitaker St. Louis Filmmakers Showcase. It gets underway on Sunday. The five-day event will feature 15 films to be shown at the Tivoli Theater, all of which have strong St. Louis connections both behind the scenes and on the screen itself. Joining me in studio with a festival preview is Chris Clark, Artistic Director for Cinema St. Louis and Director of the Filmmakers Showcase.
Good afternoon. And one modest correction, if you don't mind. There are 87 films spread out over 15 programs.
Oh, okay. Well, thank
some of them
you.
Are short subjects, some are feature length. So there's
thank you for
way more
that.
Than 15. Yes.
Well, yeah. Well, 87, did you say?
87, yes,
87.
Sir.
87. Well, thank you for correcting that. I guess I misread something
that, okay.
that came across my desk. Well, you said just before we went on the air, I asked if you were all ready to go, and you said after 17 years, we think we've got it down pat.
You know, there's always lots of moving parts, and like I mentioned, with 87 filmmakers, getting films from 87 humans is a difficult task, and, you know, with deadlines and we need images and, you know, setting up interviews and stuff. So it's a big, complicated, vibrant body, but we're ready to go.
You don't do it overnight. How long do you work on this thing?
We started taking submissions at the end of January, and I was still prying things out of people's fingers a few weeks ago. So 9 months, 8 months.
And all of the films have a St. Louis connection one way or another, which I guess makes the job harder, or does it?
Absolutely, it does. Yeah. And that's the point of this event. It's sort of a junior mirror version of the St. Louis International Film Festival, which is just like the Cannes Film Festival, as you know.
No, of course.
But the point of this event is to celebrate local filmmaking. All the filmmakers participating, with one notable exception, is either from St. Louis, grew up here, lived here, and moved away and worked elsewhere. But all films have a strong, relevant local 314-636 connection, or 618 also. Don't forget them.
I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn that there are that many people associated with the film industry from St. Louis.
This was a record year for submissions as well, which made it even harder still, and there's other reasons too. We had nearly 160 choices to make, or me. I do this event on my own. We made 160 choices to whittle down to things that worked well together, things that, you know, with the very best possible films. And we know and work with a lot of these people on a yearly, monthly basis sometimes. So when I have to say no to somebody I know, it's like scolding your favorite nephew or niece. So it can be a little awkward, but people are usually professionals.
What sort of criteria do you have when you're making these decisions and whittling down from 160 to 87?
Some of it is subjective, and you may not make the same choices, but I think in most cases you would. Roughly, you know, was it any good? And for the narratives, which are a little bit harder to gauge than documentaries, arguably, have they told a unique story in a different way? Have I seen this before? Or if I have, is this a new take on it? What is their level of technical skill? What is the acting like? What is the storytelling like? You know, would anyone that I grabbed off the street enjoy this film? Would somebody from another city or another country feel that this was something interesting and worthy to watch, not just because it was made here, because it was a good thing that was made here?
How important is this event to the filmmakers?
I think it's very important. You're able to project your film, 30 feet high in the glorious home base of ours, that's the Tivoli Theater, in the majestic setting in their main room. That's a great goal of anyone. And to sit in a room with a jury of your peers and your family and your girlfriends and boyfriends and Sunday school teachers and everybody there you've ever known to watch your work, your art flash by on the screen and then the applause at the end, it's a great thing. From there, then, there's other things that help. We just met with the awards jury on Saturday. And our offices up the street, and I know all the awards now and who's going to win prizes. But then from that, the staff then will select a handful of these 87 films, maybe as many as 15, maybe as many as 20, that will graduate to the graduate school that is the St. Louis International Film Festival in the fall. From there, they get invited to other festivals in other cities and other countries. So it ratchets up from there.
How important are the festivals? I mean, there are a number of them, obviously. The most celebrated, of course, you mentioned a moment ago, Cannes. But there are, I guess every major city has some sort of a film festival. How important are these to the filmmakers?
It is important because you get people in different cities and countries looking at your work and different perspectives. What's great is, you know, you get those little laurels. They call them with the little, you know, leaf things on the side that you were, you know, best of this. If you win an award, other programmers, other people like me in other cities will say, oh, look at this film played at St. Louis Film Festival and it won an award. Well, maybe I might like it too. So just every little notch up in a vast, vast ocean of possibilities with YouTube and anyone able to make a film with a phone. There's so many ways to be able to make a film, but can you tell a good story?
Is this kind of an itinerant thing for the filmmakers? Do they go from place to place, from festival to festival, hoping to get some of those laurels?
They can. The submission process is also a vast, deep pool and sometimes a black hole of submission fees. And it can be very expensive. You can spend as much as you spent on your film sometimes. But the ones that merit, that have, you know, have caught lightning in a bottle, so to speak, will travel on and on. We had Chris Grego, who's been a guest on your show before and I think a participant in many of our events over the years, just got back from a festival in Canada where they showed a film that we showed at this event last year, and he won several awards. And I think in part they noted that because they are closing that film of this event last year.
Yeah. The films that are going to be shown here this year, obviously they are not premiere films in the sense that this is not their first showing. They have been shown elsewhere.
Oh, no. Most of them will be their intergalactic premieres.
Oh, really?
Some have been shown in school. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're filmmaking from Webster, Linda would have shown in those kind of context where end of the year studies. But many of these films have never been seen before.
So this is the first reaction these filmmakers will be getting to their work.
Welcome to the big leagues, kid. That's show business.
Oh, boy. Well, that's got to be so exciting for
them.
Let's talk a little bit about the range of films that of these 87 that are going to be showing over the 5-day period. Give me some sense of the range.
Not this year, but past participants have been as young as fourth graders who a couple of years ago made this charming film about manners. But we have some high school students participating this year, lots of college students from Webster and Lindenwood and places like that with film production in town. Adult professionals living and working in town who put the word filmmaker on their W-2s and their tax forms every year. That's their job.
Yeah.
Some hobbyists. Just people all over the spectrum. Some people work, you know, peripherally in the industry for advertising agencies. People who want to tell a story, whether documentary or narrative, through – you can't say film anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a moving image. Literally, the film is gone. There is no more film anymore. But the people who tell a story, some are comedy, some are dramas. The one that is not – has the least connection to St. Louis is just the event itself. Atomic Homefront is a documentary we're doing about the Bridgeton landfill situation. Yeah. The director is not from St. Louis, but the character is the Bridgeton landfill. That is sort of an exception.
The subject matter is
the subject matter,
What can you tell me about that? I've got a little blurb in front of me here, but how does it tell the story?
It is is the third film in as many years about the topic, which has just been brewing and percolating and, you know, hopefully will just stay below the surface. But it's an outsider's perspective, which is sort of refreshing. Someone who came in from outside of the city in the area and recognized this terrible problem and interviewed scores of people living in the area and activists protesting and trying to get changes made to the, you know, it's a stiff uphill battle with many of the companies cascading over time have gone out of business or changed their sold off their rights or, you know, just no longer exist. So who do you yell at? Who does this?
Well, in order to affect change, it would have to have a fairly wide distribution. I mean, what is the potential for that for a film like this, the Atomic Homefront?
Atomic Homefront is already an HBO film and will be on later in the summer. So that one's already succeeded.
The audience potential is really vast.
It's very high.
You start getting into that league.
But for the local films and student films, most of them will be their end station. They might get some people watching it on YouTube or things like that. But people who really are really dedicated will then start to submit to other festivals, hopefully be in other states and other, you know, bigger festivals, you know, yeah. up the higher up the food chain.
You've seen all of these films, obviously, because yes. you're the guy, you're the yes. decider, as they
I'm
say.
The eye.
You're the eye. What are some that really have caught your eye that you think are special, and what are they about?
If you don't know the name Susan Stone, you will know her as the infamous Dance of Life dancer. Mm-hmm. There is a 30-minute documentary about her that I found quite revealing and quite poignant. She has a sort of a semi-bad reputation in town. People sometimes find her annoying and aggravating. But the backstory of why she does what she does, it was just heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just a revelatory story of a person. There's a documentary about a man who was a World War II fighter pilot that worked for McDonnell Douglas, helping them make airplanes, fighter planes throughout time.
Which he eventually flew or had flown?
The most decorated, most hours of any similar pilot in existence. So these two films, these very different films, are in the same program. There's a film of experimental short subjects. There's a gooey, racy horror film in the mix. There's always one of those every year. Tonight She Comes. Mm-hmm. There's a beautiful, understated black and white narrative feature called Palacios by local filmmaker Bobby Herrera, who in his past has made many decorative films. The Gray Seasons, the documentary about the SLU women's basketball, a couple of years. So, you know, he's a very proficient filmmaker.
Well, let's talk about Palacios for a moment, because this is quite different. Again, I'm just seeing the paragraph here, mm-hmm. but it's an intriguing kind of concept, story concept.
It was something that was literally shot 4 years ago in 2013, and then life got in the way, and he had a daughter, and he had to move and was very successful with his personal work life. Just sat on a shelf, and he finally dusted it off and went through many, many, many hours mm-hmm. of footage from a four-year-old project and put together this stunningly and achingly beautiful, heartfelt story with just two people. So it's the polar opposite of a gooey, loud horror film, this quiet, understated film about just two individuals having conversations over the course of a day.
What I've got here is Eugene, a black inner-city teen, escapes the city streets, hides on a Midwest city rooftop during a 4th of July holiday, found by Holly, a widowed alcoholic who lives in a secluded rooftop dwelling with her Boston Terrier. And they kind of connect.
They connect. The young man is, like, you know, hiding, in essence, on her rooftop. The apartment that she has mm-hmm. was actually the director's apartment at the time. I just, you know, used what he had and just made this thing over a couple of days and really emoted some terrific performances.
Who is the filmmaker here? That's Bobby Herrera.
Bobby Herrera.
Yeah, right. Okay, there's one that caught my eye too, because most of us here at St. Louis Public Radio are familiar with the Weil family, and this is a very touching story. Gabe is the name of the film. Tell us about that.
Gabe is a not terribly long, 70-minute documentary mm-hmm. that charts the teen and young adult years of Gabe Weil, who was adopted by the Weils as an infant from Dominican Republic.
I think so. That part of the world.
Central America, I know. I think it's Dominican Republic. Within a year or two of the adoption, realized that he wasn't like exactly like the other children mm-hmm. and was diagnosed with Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. The story picks, you know, charts of his early years, mm-hmm. then picks up when he's a teenager and young adult and doesn't want to just sit in his chair and wait for the end. He went to Wash U. Mm-hmm. He graduated from Wash U. He took a cross-country road trip in a van with several of his friends. So he continued to live his life and move forward like he had no disability and was profoundly disabled. Had trouble doing the most basic tasks, including swallowing, lots of things. So a very empowering story of this young man's will to he wanted to start a juice bar. He had lots of plans for his life.
Courageous young man. As I say, the Weil family is a great friends of St. Louis.
Friends of journalism.
And throughout.
Sure.
Yes, no question about it. So what happens to a film like this? Now, it's going to show here. It's about a St. Louisan. Is this it? Is this where it's going to live, period?
For a film like that has an inspirational message that is bigger than you or I, or bigger than WashU, mm-hmm. or bigger than St. Louis. It's about, you know, chutzpah. It's about life. Mm-hmm. So yes, something like that could have more of a life. You know, maybe not in every multiplex across the country, but it could get picked up by a cable channel or shown in an educational setting, shared with other muscular dystrophy organizations, and, you know, make a difference to somebody somewhere. And that is ultimately the point of a documentary, to change one's opinion.
How about humor? Humor, do we have to, are we going to get some laughs out of this 5-day period?
Well, I think so. There's certainly, and then comedy is hardest of all to make people laugh. You know, so a 20-something might have a different sense of humor than a 40-something or somebody a little bit older than that. But the ones that do can tell a joke that can make everybody in a room laugh. Those are the golden tickets. Mm-hmm.
And anything popped into mind that you can recommend for people to look for?
There's a very funny film called Table 21, directed by a young woman named Brooke Jolly. And the young man who plays the waiter, Luke the waiter, is an actor that is in 5 films spread out throughout the showcase. Mm-hmm. And the other ones, he's usually got a beard and he's usually a cowboy or some rougher. But this is just a slicked back, just outrageous, the worst possible, most intrusive waiter that you've ever experienced. And I don't often laugh when I'm sitting there by myself in my office or my home watching. This one made me laugh out loud.
Where can people get a comprehensive view of everything that's going to be happening? I assume there's a website and the information's all there.
It is indeed. CinemaSt.Louis.org is our website. Saint is not spelled out. CinemaSt.Louis.org. Look for the St. Louis Filmmaker Showcase pages. The 15 shows that I mentioned, several of them are feature length, like Atomic Homefront and Gabe and Palacios. The others are short subject programs of varying length, usually around 90 minutes, which are segregated into, like, this is a documentary shorts program, this is a narrative shorts program. These are, you know, everything will be listed there along with the running links and times and tickets and all those.
We'll put
details.
A link to your website
and
ours at stlpublicradio.org. So does one ticket get you in for the entire day?
It does not. Just like going to the movies, they don't want you to sit there all day. They want you to get up and buy another ticket, and we will gently urge people to hit the exits and hit the street and come back in and buy another ticket.
What's the price range for the various films?
A ticket for a feature or a program is $13 or $10 for students or Cinema St. Louis members, and that for $10.
Yeah. You're keeping students in mind throughout this whole project, aren't you?
Yes.
Young people in mind.
Yes.
And there's an award ceremony. My understanding is going to conclude with the award ceremony. What's that going to be like?
Lots of excitement and a few tears, I think. The awards jury met last weekend, and we're ready to go. And then a handful of films will then be invited to the International Film Festival in the fall. We'll do that at Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room, as is our custom, right down the street from the theater. And a good time, camaraderie, you know, had by all.
How is the International Festival shaping up?
We've got some exciting balls in the air. We're trying to watch as many things as we can. Our late end of the world deadline is at the end of this month, so we're always working on a couple things at the same time, but we have some big things coming, we hope.
How many films are you going to have to watch for that?
Right now, I don't do all of them. We have different sections that we work on. Right now, we're up to about 2,500 submissions for the festival, and that doesn't include things from like studios or distributors or anything too. So we'll be looking at probably close to 3,000 films to pick 400.
Your eyes are going to be rolling in your head by the end of this year.
That's why I got the corner office.
Any final thought you want to leave us with, Chris?
Don't let people have their preconceptions that a locally made film will necessarily be bad. There's lots of different types of programs, and there's really something for everyone. I would just encourage people to take a chance on this type of local art.
And, yeah, encouraging local artists, too, to continue doing what they're doing.
Yes.
Chris Clark, thank you so much.
Thank you.
St. Louis, we'll look forward to the event.
Great.
Starting next Sunday, right?
Yes.
16th through the 20th.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.